A tremendous Friday to you. Welcome to the program. The program is the Jim Rome Show, starring me, Jim Rome. You're in the jungle. We are live in the Quicken Loans studios. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently with Quicken Loans. This hour sets up like this. L.A. Rams defensive tackle Michael Brockers joins me in about 20 minutes. We're efforting Nathan Shepard of the New York Jets. We had him in hour number one, but meetings ran long, so we're going to try and put him in hour number two somewhere. Third hour is a busy hour. Phone lines are open at 1-800-636-8686. We talked a lot about game one. I still have more thoughts on game one, but I did spend a chunk of hour number one on game one, so let me move on to something very quickly. Let's talk about the box of chaos. If you're watching on CBS Sports Network, you can see it. It's right off to my left, the so-called box of chaos. Listen up. Listen good. Today, we have reached a deadline. Today, Friday, June 1st, is officially the final day to get in your list of demands for this box of chaos. Now, if you've got no idea what I'm talking about, let me reset this very quickly right now. And for the last time. There is no tomorrow. This is it. No tomorrow. Not with this thing. Quickly to catch you up. This year, I have been nominated to the National Radio Hall of Fame. It is an amazing honor. It means the world to me, and I would love nothing more than for all of us to bust right through those doors together. Now, this particular category that I've been nominated to is put to a listener vote. And I've got to be very clear about this. I'm not about stumping for votes. I'm not about going all self-serving bag with this. But I don't have much choice, do I? It's all coming down to us doing this thing together. And if it is, then damn it, let's do this thing together. It's a listener vote. This is our category. Everybody who's in the category is dealing with the same thing. I'm not making the rules. So many of you are more than willing to cast a vote when the polls open up on this Monday, June 4th, out of loyalty. And I can't say how much I appreciate it. One more thing. I know a lot of you have said, hey, Rome, we've heard it already. How do we vote? You cannot vote until Monday. And then I will tell you exactly how to do it. And a lot of you want nothing in return. And I appreciate it so much. It means a lot to me. However, a lot of you do want something in return. A lot of you are not going to bang that ballot box unless you get something in return. So I have agreed to negotiate the terms of that vote because I need all of your votes. And for the first time ever, and I've said it before, you have the hammer. You have the leverage. And when you've got that hammer, you best swing that hammer. So 2 weeks ago, I started to ask you, all right, then, what do you want in return? What is your price? What's it going to take? What do you want? And I told you to write in or call in or tweet in with your list of demands. You know, like, I'll vote for you, Rome, but only if you do this for me. And I've been keeping track of all of them. They're all going to go into this box right here. Well, all reasonable ones. As you'll find out shortly, not all of them are going in. But they're coming through my email, they're coming through Twitter, they're coming through on the phones. I've written most of them down. They will go in this box. If you're watching on TV, you can see the box. Hey, Hawk, really quickly. Since the box is your idea, since you actually worked up this box, why don't you tell the clones how this particular box physically came to be? Where did you get the box?
I got the box at Joann's.
Talking to the microphone that's on, Hawk. That'd be great.
Sorry about that. I got the box from Joann's. It's a fabric and arts and crafts store next to my house. And I went with my wife, and she spotted the box and said, hey, there's one up there. So I grabbed it, and I had a 60% off coupon at Joann's. So I got the box for $20. I picked up some chalkboard paint. I painted the box, and then I chalked it up with Box of Chaos. That box has two coats on it. And there is paint all over the inside of my house because I forgot to let it dry before I brought it in.
Smart. And you also got that shirt at Joann's Fabrics while you were there, right?
Yeah, this could definitely be from Joann's. This shirt is on...
Could be or is.
Probably is. This shirt's on borrowed time, though. This is my wife's least favorite shirt. She hates it. She wants me to get rid of it, so I'm going to wear it as much as I can before it disappears.
Hawk, we all hate that shirt, but we all hate most of your shirts. So what makes that one so different?
Well, this was my launch shirt.
Stop bringing me down. Go away.
I hate it.
That's Adam Hawk, executive producer of the program. Actually, he found the box. It's not a bad effort, Hawk. I have to give you that. That's not a bad effort. He painted it. He chalked it. All of them are going in. I just wanted you to know exactly where he got that box from. Now, and by the way, Joanne's is in 49 states, so you probably know that, right? The Box of Chaos is literally from the least chaotic place ever, Joanne's Fabrics. So go figure. Anyway, you look right at it. If you're not near a TV, get to my Twitter feed, check out the pic. So what's inside that box?
What's in the box? What's in the box?
Every one of the demands that I've received that are reasonable are going inside that box. And on Monday, when the polls for the National Radio Hall of Fame officially open up, I will reach in, I will pull out five of them. Not one, not two, not three, not four, five. Five different demands. And the five that I pull will officially become our agreed-upon negotiation. You get all of us into the Radio Hall of Fame with your votes, and I will make good on five of those demands that I pull from the Box of Chaos on Monday. Here's what's in the box so far. Do the wood scopes. You get me in, I pull that one, I will do it. Take a 15-minute nap with Justin from Cleveland in his car. Give up the rapper who hit on Janet. Reveal the dump of a town that my dad took me to on a college visit. Have Hawk take down his stash. Pay for a bust of James Kelly and his five head to sit in studio when he's not there. Bring back the hack off one last time. Chug a beer on air like Tom Brady. Bring back the death pool. Wear Hawk style shirts buttoned up to the top for an entire week. Do another tour stop. Grant a self-gloss Friday. Let Janet co-host a segment. Sweetheart, if you're listening right now, and I'll know in 1 second after I say this because she'll blow my phone up. If I pull that, you're doing it. You and I will co-host a segment.
Sweetheart.
She's been on the show once in 25 years. She will not do it. She hates it. It's going in the box, darling. Sweetheart, you will co-host in here with me.
Sweetheart.
Let Alvin co-host a segment. Let Logan co-host a segment. Be the best man at Jeff in San Antonio's wedding. Admit SJP looks like a horse.
It doesn't make any sense.
Bring back the piece of crap list. Make Hawk run a 10K in golf spikes. Take down the goat to a stash. Have James Kelly read mean tweets about his forehead for a segment. Caddy for Adam Hawk for 18 holes. Give us an all O.J. Simpson day. Bring back Triple U for a week. Triple U is not banned. You can use that whenever you want. Make the XR4Ti microwave fish in the control room for one day. Reset the adult alarm. I did that already. Play the Mark Grace Slump Buster interview. Use the Neti Pot live on TV. All right. So now you know what's in the box. Most of that. You have until the end of the show today to add something new and original to the box. You can tweet it to me at Jim Rome. You can email it to me at rome@haveatake.com. Or you can phone it in 1-800-636-8686. But today's the final day to get a demand into the Box of Chaos because on Monday I will pull five. And I can't draw yours if you do not submit it. Get to it. It is your last chance. The clock is ticking. Here are some others. Some new submissions. At Charger Fan Dan tweets, Box of Chaos, Rome, if and when you get into the Hall of Fame, you and the XR4Ti do a show wearing suits with short pants. I wonder if they have to be matching. Dude, if we ask David August to cut those suits, none of us can afford that. Not for everybody. At Mock Moda tweets, Box of Chaos submission, a brief on-set cameo by Blink-182. Here's the thing. I would love to do it. There are certain things that I might not be able to pull off, certain things that I might not be able to execute. I don't know. And those guys did a cameo once on my set for The Last Word for a video. I'm not sure that I can get those guys to pull that off here. and especially walking through the set naked like they did. You know the background on that? When we talked about that, I said, no, wait, bros, are you really going to go naked? They're like, no, no. We'll just go skin suits. I'm like, oh, cool. And then we went to do it that day. They were hanging out. Full naked. People, that was not acting. That face that I made was legit. I did not expect it. That was not some skin suit. Those guys were letting it all hang out. It's pretty amazing. Randall, WFI in the OC, tweets, lift the restraining order. Yeah. Hashtag box of chaos. You know what, Randall? If you and the clones get me in terms of that restraining order being lifted, no! Yeah. At Radom 27 tweets, box of chaos, a show where you read all Najee resets. Hey, Radom, in a word, no! Yeah. You know why, Radom? I'd like to keep this job. Najee Davenport resets for 3 hours. At 40s Thrash tweets, Rome, if it hasn't been requested already, play in the San Quentin game. Hashtag box of chaos. That's a good one. First of all, I would not play in the game. I would attend the game. I'm not going to run with Bob Myers and the fellas against the inmates in San Quentin. But Bob Myers has invited me to that game so many times, and I haven't done it. That's a really good one, actually. 40s Thrash. Thomas tweets. Okay, this is now in response to Hawk going to Joanne's. Hawk, Joanne's? What did you pay with? Your man card? Sincerely, Mr. James's suit shorts. Hey, that was an amazing look. I'm all about that look. I don't think I could pull that off. LeBron did. I thought that was an amazing look. Tracy is back in at PHX Nola Girl. Judging by the handwriting, Adam Hawk practiced his anarchist A a lot during high school. Yeah, right? All it's missing is the circle. Hey, listen, that's the last time he wrote anything. Dude, did you graduate high school? At Rich Micklebust tweets, my request, fire Hawk for having a frequent shopper's card for Joanne's Fabrics. He's done a lot of things that would be considered fireable offenses, but that's not one of them. I mean, it's curious. He just does weird things, man. The guy lives in the hood. He goes to what is close to his home. At Table Slam Fam, Joanne's Fabrics is also where Hawk's shirt materials are selected. Pretty much. More for the box. Liz in Fall City tweets, that box is cool. If you put it on eBay, I'd buy it in a heartbeat. What's the buy it now price on that bad boy, Hawk? You paid $20 for it. Mark it up, man. Liz, you can have that box for $40. At Labatt RU tweets, that box is so hipster. It does CrossFit. It eats vegan ice cream. And it wears Birkenstock sandals 24/7. It screams Adam Hawk. Cat Tattoo didn't want to get in on it, though. That is a Hawk creation. The box of chaos. He painted it himself. He selected it himself. He marked it up with his chalk himself. That is officially a Hawk production. All right, short time out. Don't hang up. I know a lot of you want to talk about your demand. I'd love to get it. First up, though, Michael Brockers, LA Rams defensive tackle. That's 5 minutes out. When you're on the field, it's all about the right timing, knowing when to plan the right play, knowing when to make that play. It's what all great coaches who know how to get what they want are doing on the sidelines. They make their plan, they execute their plan, but only when the time is right. O'Reilly Auto Parts has a similar philosophy. When you need a part, but you're not in position to pick it up, you can just order the parts that you need at O'ReillyAuto.com. Then pick them up at any of their 5,000 stores nationwide when you're ready to go. No shipping costs. Returns are always easy. You can pick them up when it's convenient for you. It's easy. And you know what you want is going to be there when you go there. That saves you time in the store. The shopping game begins when you say it begins. It ends when you get what you want at O'Reilly Auto Parts. It's like you've won before you even head out the door. So make the smart play. Shop your way for the parts you need at O'ReillyAuto.com. O'ReillyAuto.com. Better parts, better prices. Every day, O'ReillyAuto.com.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Jim Rome with you on this Friday. Remember, if you're on hold, stay there. I want the phone calls. But first things first, we are joined by a defensive tackle for the L.A. Rams. He had a career-high 55 tackles, 4.5 sacks. He had 4 pass deflections. He had a block kick. He was a member of the 2012 All-Rookie Team. He was the 14th pick overall back in 2012 out of LSU. The Rams were 11-5 last year. They won the NFC West. They open up against Oakland at Oakland on September 10th. We're joined by Michael Brockers. Michael, great to have you back.
Hola.
How are you?
Omar, ¿cómo estás? How you doing?
Muy bien. ¿Y usted, Miguel?
I don't know. After that, I'm done. Muy bien.
Está terminado? No problema, amigo. All right. It's all good. Listen, man. Don't try me like that, man. I'm more inteligente. Muy listo. Muy guapo y muy listo.
I see you. Very impressive. Okay. I'm impressed now.
Thank you, man. Good. All right. So you've been back in OTAs. First of all, how's it feel to be back out there once again and going through drills?
Man, it feels good. Feels good. Honestly, just getting back into it, hanging out with the guys, being in the locker room is kind of like the stuff you always miss. So honestly, being back and, you know, hanging out with these guys, it's been fun.
Michael, go back 1 year. So to the start of OTAs last year, you were coming off a year where the team had gone 4-12 and you were getting to know a new head coach in Sean McVay. As you look back, you go back 1 year from right now, what sticks out to you the most about that time?
I really think just, you know, buying into the system. We didn't know what we're getting, you know, we didn't know what to expect. So I just remember just buying into everything, you know, Coach McVay was talking about, you know, about being a team, having good character and just, you know, trusting the process. And, you know, we bought in and then, you know, we ended up having one of the best seasons I ever, you know, been a part of. So, that's you know, most thing I remember from last year.
Michael Brockers joining us. And, of course, it wasn't just getting to know Sean McVay. You were also playing for a new D coordinator in Wade Phillips. Now, you and I have talked about him in the past, but what do you remember about meeting him for the first time?
You know, you came in with a great resume. I just wanted to see what kind of guy he was and, you know, got to know him and got to understand, you know, he really trusts his players. He really trusts in what he teaches and trusts us into getting it done. And when you have leaders on the team that also trust in the scheme and what's going on, you know, and leading the young guys, it can go a long way.
You know, that's not just something to say, right, Michael? That's a big, big deal. You've got to have coaches that they want you to buy in, but it's hard to buy in if they don't trust you. How important is it, that trust that you have to have between the coaches and players?
I mean, it starts off with, you know, like I said, just buying into what they're teaching. You know, it was a new scheme. I was kind of worried coming in with, you know, with Coach Wade coaching a 3-4. I didn't know if I was going to be two gapping or what, you know, but he came in and told us, like, you know, we're not going to take your fastball away from you. We want you to keep attacking. We just want to do it from a different angle. So when I found that out and a lot of guys, you know, found that out, we just enjoyed just learning about it. And we seen, you know, a different aspect of a 3-4 and that we liked.
See, the fact of the matter is, yeah, a new scheme, but you had arguably the best year of your career in that new scheme. So what was the biggest difference for you from 1 year to the next?
I mean, I don't know if you know. I mean, because the beginning of the season, I started off at nose tackle, you know, and I was doing so well, you know, at nose tackle. I was comfortable playing that. And, you know, and I think around game 5, game 4, we were about to play Dallas. They were like, man, we really need, you know, some outside, you know, present at end, you know, at our strong side end. And I was kind of, you know, I was kind of worried about it. I was like, man, you know, this is mid-season switch. I don't know if I'm going to, you know, play up to par. Like, I don't really know the position. I haven't really been, you know, in my playbook really looking at the plays and stuff for that. So, you know, I think it really showed the trust they had in me to get the job done, you know, and I got in the playbook. Every night I felt like a rookie again going over a different position and getting to know it just so I wouldn't, you know, let any guys down.
I appreciate that answer. Michael Brocker is joining us. You know, as a team, you win 11 games in the regular season. You win that division. You host a playoff game. I mean, after going through a number of really challenging seasons, what was it like to see all that hard work finally pay off the way it did?
It was amazing. It was amazing. It was surreal. Just seeing, you know, actually the stadium being packed out with Rams fans, because it's hard to pack that stadium out. I don't think people understand. You could probably fit a million people in there if you really wanted to. And it's hard to pack it out, but that playoff game, it was stacked, and you know, the atmosphere was perfect. I mean, I never played in a playoff game, but I just thought it was just perfect. You know, the air, you can just smell it in the air. You know, it was just awesome, an awesome experience.
You know how it is with this town, Michael. It's hard to get people to come out, but if you win and you win a certain way, they will. They will come out, and that is a huge building to have to pack. Now, when the whole team takes a huge step like it did last year, it seems like it would be natural to make a couple of small changes or tweaks and say, look, everything's going fine. What we're doing is working. But instead, the front office goes out, and they take one big swing after another. They add Marcus Peters, Aqib Talib, then Ndamukong Suh. So what was your reaction as you watched all of that play out?
You know, really, you know, this team and the front office really has some cojones, you know. They just want to win now. I think that's what it was all about. You know, we want to win now, not tomorrow. We're not in a building process and, you know, telling people trust the process. We want to win now, as much as we can. So, it just really showed that this team is about winning.
Michael, cojones. Mas Espanol, Buen Palabra, Buen Trabajo. I see what you did there. You snuck some more in. Listen, that defensive line was already nasty with you and Aaron Donald. Now that you have Sue, how much havoc can you guys cause?
I mean, you have three dominant players up front. You know, I don't want to, you know, a lot of people already, you know, giving us the throne, and I don't like that because I don't want to buy into the hype. But, you know, if we put the work in that we can and that's due. I think we can go out there and be as dominant as we can. You know, I don't want to put no expectations on us. I just know what we have and the work that could be put in, and we'll see.
Michael Brocker is joining us for a few more moments. And, you know, and then you've got the additions in the secondary too. Look, I know how a great defensive line can make a secondary's life much easier, but what about a great secondary? How does that impact your life on the defensive line?
It just means, you know, with a great secondary, it just means the quarterback might's going to have to hold the ball a little bit longer. So that equals sacks. And, you know, the longer the quarterback holds the ball, you know, you give him more opportunity for Aaron to get there, myself or Sue to get there. So it just shows, you know, you got work. It works hand in hand. We say that all the time, you know, rushing cover works hand in hand. And, hopefully we'll see it come to intuition soon.
You know, Michael, there's a little bit of concern or a little bit of attention maybe paid to the fact that Aaron Donald is not at OTAs. What are your thoughts on that? And is there any part of you that's concerned that he wasn't there?
Not at all, man. I kind of been through it last year, and, you know, I understand that, you know, it's a front office thing. You know, it's nothing that, you know, he doesn't want to be with us. You know, it's a thing, you know, going on about contracts, and that's what this game is all about. It's a part of the game. So, you know, I'm not really concerned. I know AD is working. I know what kind of guy he is. He's always in the gym. He's always doing extra work. So I'm not worried about, you know, his work ethic or, you know, is he, you know, being lazy or anything. I know that's not that type of guy. So as long as he comes in and he's been in a year in the playbook and, you know, he just kind of refreshes himself, I think we'll be good.
He was the 14th pick overall back in 2012, a career-high 55 tackles, 4.5 sacks, 4 pass deflections, and the Rams opening up at Oakland September 10th. Michael, it's good to have you back, man. Great to get caught up. I really appreciate it. Gracias, mi amigo.
De nada.
All right. Talk to you soon, Michael. Thank you. Michael Brockers. Hey, man, we're just showing range. He and me both. I can do stuff like that. I just don't like to kind of floss up in here about that. I don't want to show off, but I got that. Tres años en la escuela. 1-800-636-8686. Rams are awesome. Man, there's something else. To win 11 games, to win that division, and then not to sit on their hands for Les Snead. to get after it the way he did in the offseason, to take those big swings and say, I mean, who would anybody have said anything at all if they did nothing? They made a few small tweaks and just kind of rode that thing, played that hot hand. They doubled down. They went all in. These guys get it. One, you never know. Nothing's guaranteed. Take your shot while you can. And two, in a market like this, in Southern California, in Los Angeles, winning, number one, you have to win. It's not like some other markets. Like, it's not like Cleveland. And I just say that, like, Cleveland can win one game in 2 years, and the Browns fans are still maniacal. They're coming no matter what. That's not like that here in L.A. How do I put this? We're not very good fans. We're front-running fans. We're amazing fans when we win. But if you don't win, we will find something else to do. The Rams understand this. And just winning's not enough. You got to win a certain way. And they are. And the Chargers understand that. Very competitive suddenly in this market. All right, when we come back, another great story for you. I found Nathan Shepard. He's coming up next. Hey, dudes, listen. Got a really good piece of advice. If you're ready to reduce the gray in your hair, go with the smartest product available. Experience Control GX from Just for Men. It is the first shampoo with an actual brain. So how does this work? It reduces gray the same way that gray grows in, gradually. The more you shampoo with Control GX, the less gray you have. Just use it until you like what you see. How smart is that? I can tell you how smart. Smart enough to be voted Men's Hair Care Product of the Year. Gradually reduce the gray with the first shampoo with a brain. Find Control GX in the shave aisle. Control GX from Just for Men. Time now for the bottom of the hour sports update that you've all been waiting on. Here it is. Rich Ackerman stepping in.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Cruising through the Friday. What's going on? Welcome back. I am Jim Rome. Nice to be here. Great, great story for you right now. We are joined by a defensive lineman for the New York Jets. He was an All-American at Fort Hays State. The MIAA Defensive Player of the Year. He had 12 and a half tackles for a loss last season, including four sacks. He was the 72nd pick overall in this year's draft. The Jets are opening up against Detroit on September 10th. We are joined by Nathan Shepard. Nathan, great to have you on the show. How are you?
Hey, I'm great, man. Thanks for having me.
Nathan, great to talk to you. I was looking forward to it. Listen, I would normally start our conversation by talking about what it's like to get a phone call from the Jets telling you that they were going to draft you. But for people to really appreciate what went into that phone call, we've got to go back even further. For instance, you're from a town outside of Toronto. So growing up, how did you first get involved in football?
I grew up. Ajax Pickering area, GTA out of Toronto. Basically, there's a lot of sports I played. Football just kind of stuck with me. Originally, there was an episode of the Bernie Mac show. I don't know if you're familiar with
it. Sure, yeah, yeah.
Where basically Bernie Mac's nephew, Jordan, tries out for the football team kind of in order to impress his uncle. And, you know, Jordan was a character that I really, you know, felt I connected with. Just because we were both kind of scrawny, kind of nerdy, even kind of looked the same, glasses, everything like that. So it really kind of spoke to me. And ever since I saw that episode, definitely been trying to play football since then.
I'm telling you, this story is getting better already. Now, when you talk about being kind of scrawny and kind of nerdy, the story goes you were a 205-pound linebacker in high school, and then you started to play in college in Vancouver. So what was college football like for you?
College, it was a big step up. I had a lot of things were changing, definitely for me. Originally, I had played linebacker in high school. So, again, I was around 6'1", 205. Needed to switch positions, just my body type and the other athletes that were available. I needed to play defensive line. So I was playing defensive end my redshirt freshman year. And, you know, it was, you know, baptism by fire just because I was undersized and not familiar to the position.
Nathan Shepard joining us, and that was far from the only challenge. You were on a partial scholarship, but then finances became tight, so you had to step away to earn some money. That meant working in a plant nursery and doing work in electrical construction. What were those jobs like?
Those jobs were definitely really tough. basically I was trying to support myself as an athlete and then save up. So you got to pay for your food. You got to pay for your training. You also got to save up. So definitely a lot of work with time management. And then there were physically difficult jobs, like the plant nursery was out in the hot sun, you know, beating down on you. That drains on you. But then at the end of the day, you still got to go work out. Electrical construction, again, you're lifting heavy materials, physically demanding job. It was just kind of will to succeed really just kind of took over.
Nathan Shepard joining us. And that's not all. Now, you also worked in a cardboard box factory, and you worked from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., and then you would switch to the graveyard shift every couple of weeks. I mean, that is brutal work. Those are brutal hours. What was that experience like?
You know, one thing I kind of learned when I was working is that I didn't want to do this for the rest of my life. So, you know, I decided, you know, every time I kind of went to work, I knew it was one less time I'd have to go there because I was going to get closer to playing football again. The cardboard, working at the printing factory, stacking the cardboard boxes, that was luckily my last job that I took before I was back into football. And, yeah, so basically if you got to work the graveyard shift, you got to either work out before or after. That's what I would do.
All right, so in terms of that, you never gave up on the dream, and you had to work out. At the same time, as you're grinding out like that, you're still staying in shape. You were doing 1,000 push-ups a day during your breaks and staying focused on getting back to football. I mean, what was it about football that made you feel like this was something that you just could not let go of, that you had to continue to grind and pursue it?
You know, I felt I was blessed. I definitely felt I was blessed with a lot of abilities, just looking at my body and how it was filling out. Also, it was just something that I couldn't really forget. You ever see something at the mall and maybe you're thinking about purchasing it and you're like, ah, we'll see. But you still keep thinking about it, and you're like, dang, you know what? If I'm thinking about this much, I just got to stick with it. I just got to go ahead and buy it. That's kind of what it was with football on me. And I just didn't want to grow older and kind of have a doubt saying that I didn't give everything I could. So basically I was like, whatever I got to do to play ball for as long as I'm eligible or as long as I have the opportunity, do it at the best of my ability, and I'll be happy with whatever outcome I have.
New York Jet, Nathan Shepard, my guest. Now, your trainer, Paul Watkins, would send you messages, and one of them was, quote, the day you decide not to do 1,000 push-ups is the day you decide you no longer want to go pro, end quote. What did that message mean to you? Like, how did that resonate and motivate you?
Well, again, I think, personally, I took it. It was more. It didn't just have to deal with push-ups. I really don't think he was talking specifically about push-ups. He was talking about whatever it took to be successful. Because there's a lot of different moving parts and a lot of things you have to do more than just push-ups. Obviously, with football. So I think he was just trying to instill in me that everything you have to do to, you know, pursue your craft, keep on it and be persistent and continue to water your craft and nurture it, because, you know, the day you stop doing that is the day it stops growing.
Nathan Shepard is my guest. So that's exactly what you did. You stayed on that thing. You never lost focus. You did everything you could to get back on the field. And then in the spring of 2015, you were offered a chance to walk on at Fort Hays State University in Hays, Kansas. What did you know about that school before you arrived there?
That it was in the middle of nowhere, literally.
Right.
There's not much around it. It's about 250 miles. Away from anything, really, Denver and Kansas City on either side. I did know that they were graduating 4 senior defensive linemen, and they had money for scholarships, so I kind of bet on myself, took my savings, paid my way my first semester, and I was put on scholarship for 2015 in the fall season.
That's amazing, right? And then your head coach, Chris Brown, said that during your first spring there, he knew that there was something special. There was a day where the team was practicing and not very well, and he made the team do jump tucks. Everybody ended up doing 400, which is pretty nasty. You said to your teammates, quote, I did not come to Fort Hays State University to do jump tucks. I came here to win. What do you remember about that day and that experience?
Oh, my gosh.
Right?
That is hilarious. because everyone from that era, like I'm quoted for that all the time. It's so funny that you say that. I guess they're kind of astonished or taken back because, again, that was probably the first few weeks I was with the team. No one really knew me, and I kind of just stepped into that role because I understand now, looking back and having gone through the program for 3 years, that, you know, coaches will do things to test us mentally. Jump tucks was one of the things. But I, at that moment, I was like, we're supposed to be playing football. Why are we struggling in a workout? Because jump tucks was like a punishment if people weren't showing effort. I was like, why aren't we showing effort? Why is that even an issue? We don't coach effort. You give effort, we coach football.
And listen, the coach himself, he was not upset that you said that. In fact, he said it was a turning point. He said, quote, he is the dude. Everybody here looks up to him. But at the same time, even in this whole period, Nathan, money is still tight and you're still grinding. I mean, you're working the concession stand at sporting events. You're working security at basketball games. You're working as a bouncer. And I love this part of it. You were rolling around in a 1993 Ford Tempo, but it got severely damaged in rains, so you had to get a new car. Your new car was a 2006 Ford Focus that now has 175,000 miles. Faded gold, missing a hubcap, and Coach Brown called it, quote, the worst car of any kid on campus. That's amazing. I got to ask you, tell me about the car.
I guess Coach can say that now. But, yeah, you know, it was wasn't a luxury vehicle. It was a A to B vehicle. You know, helped me out, got me around town, got me around to my jobs, really.
Dude, I love that. It was an A to B vehicle, not a luxury vehicle. I mean, did you drop a name on this thing? Tell me you named that car.
Which one? Oh, my gosh. What did I name it? Oh, my. Give me a car. I think it was Carl. Carl was the first one. I don't know why. It just stuck with Carl.
Oh, dude. Carl is great. All right. So after all this work, I mean, the box factory, the nursery, all the jobs you did away from the field, the commitment, never giving up on that dream. I said that normally I would start the interview with what's it mean to get a call from the Jets. That question would not have worked unless we talked about all this. What did it mean to get the call from the Jets that they were drafting you? What was that moment like after the price you had paid?
It was a dream come true. It was definitely a dream come true. And it taught me a few things, definitely. And hopefully I'll be able to show an example of what I can do and inspire others. But basically what I got from it is, you know, sometimes you're going to work hard in life for something and it's not going to pay off with a paycheck. It's not going to pay off with a pat on the back. It's not, you might not see any of the progress right now, but if you give up on it, you'll never see it at all. So, I mean, for me, getting a call from the Jets, not only was it the ability to pursue my dreams, but it was also felt like back pay for everything I had done years and years ago. There's a lot of things I had to do that were not football related to be here to play football. Working a job wasn't football related. That didn't help me become a better football player. Saving my money didn't help me become a better football player, but it put me in a position so that I could pursue football.
Nathan Shepard, my guest. I got to finally ask then, are you still rolling A to B? Do you still have that Ford Focus, or did you upgrade and get a new rig?
We are, the Ford Focus is still in commission. Eventually there will be an upgrade at, I don't know what time that'll be, but, you know, I'll be grateful for when that time does come.
My man, much respect and much appreciation. That is an amazing story. You did a great job telling that story, and I think you got a lot of new fans and a lot of new friends listening right now. Nathan Shepard, the 72nd pick overall. Nathan, really nice to meet you and great to have you on the show. Hope we can do it again.
Yeah, absolutely. Can't wait.
That was fun, man. I can't wait either. God, I got so much respect for him. What an amazing story that is. Incredible. Nathan Shepard. Clones, snoring is disrespectful. It's offensive. You need to stop doing it right now. Get a Zepa and make everybody happy. Zepa is 100% guaranteed to work. ZYPPAH.com. ZYPPAH.com. Jets fans, you got to be thrilled with that. What a great, great interview that was. All right, third hour is wide open. It's my favorite thing to do on a Friday. Third hour, wide open. Go anywhere you want with it. I want to reset game one. If you're on hold, stay there. If not, I've got one phone line open. 1-800-636-8686. Big week next week. Hall of Fame voting begins. And I will see you on the other side. Don't go anywhere. You're in the jungle. I